from now on, you will be quiet.
I think Jitanda is going to talk a lot.
Well, I'm here to take care that you are speaking.
I never know what to do with this.
It's always the other way around, that how you put it.
Okay.
The most of the bad words are at the beginning.
People try to finish their sex time, yeah.
So you start, okay. I think, right?
So we all attended InterSpeech, no?
Yeah, so we are going to talk about the papers from InterSpeech.
So how many sessions you attended?
It's not a good question, I think.
I mean, did you attend any session?
All of them, of course.
Well, you can't pretend that it was a session in the same place.
Yeah. That's,
oh, yeah,
like,
that's true.
That's why you're...
Okay. Bad answer, right?
So, any general impression or feedback? So, for any of you, it's a first conference or...
Maybe not at all.
I mean, in the sense that it's a... InterSpeech is really big conference for speech.
Yeah,
so
it's not
did you attend before?
Well, Geneva, that's why I'm here at the
Geneva speech. Okay. Yeah, so then I think you have attended before.
Yeah, we met in ICSLP, right? The first time. So
yeah.
So how did you like the conference anyway? When you compare to the others, the previous one?
No, I think it's quite interesting, but only annoying thing is this multiple sessions, and sometimes
like
you can't able to go to oral talk, this oral presentations most of the time.
Why?
Because like posters is, you can spend a lot of time posters, looking at mini posters than sitting 20 minutes for one oral presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So in 20 minutes you can see at least 2-3 posters and you can directly talk to people.
Yeah.
So even I found like very few people in some oral presentation,
right.
I think most of the people are get on posters and...
Okay, so you attended mostly posters, I guess. So
yeah.
How many presentations?
Yeah. Presentations are hardly a handful of, like, five or...
I like the invited speaker about the implant in the ear.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite good.
He was from Austria, right, the guy?
I think so,
yeah. Well, he's very famous, I think, for that, right?
Mm.
He's the inventor of that implant and...
Okay.
For the year, I think.
Yeah. Even some panel discussions on that human speech recognition, reducing gap between ASR and HSR. It was a bit interesting, a lot of arguments and differently, it's mainly the differences, different approaches of engineers versus linguists or phoneticians.
I realized that there were panel discussions only at the place where I could see that, you know, there were some boards saying that there is some panel discussion. But I couldn't get, no one knew where is it, what it is, when it happened, and why, and so forth.
Yeah, even said the panel discussions, I think one is really held in small room, so people were really crowded.
Well, this is not... This speech is not restricted only to papers and these things. And so how did you like this, Abundant?
Quite good,
It's
a bit hot still.
Yeah.
The beach nearby is quite nice. You should try, I don't know. Did you go around?
Yeah, we went to the Costa Caparica there.
Okay.
At the bus we were supposed to take the direct one, but we didn't.
So you went to a beach,
like
Atlantic Sea coast, or?
I stayed 2 days before, so I went. You just take the train, maybe that's the same, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Train north.
And it's not so far from
half
Lisbon.
Half an hour train.
North?
Yeah. West or north, I don't know.
North
okay, place. So you stayed at the same coast, not you didn't go to the island, cross the river, where's the bridge?
Not very far,
Okay, so...
It's
we went to like far south to Lagos. And
with the red
that was really good. Those beaches are really good.
Mm, yeah. More souls to
even don't
the water in the water.
But really, it was really hot. The south, it's more than 35.
Yeah, but I think Lisbon, those days were pretty
Lisbon
good.
Was good.
Seemed to me quite not cold, but still okay, like reasonable.
Yeah, even local transport.
Oh yeah,
it's fun, like, but yeah, most of the time the buses are really crowded.
Yeah, I was happy to be back in Swiss after a few days. It's better to be here, I think.
Yeah, because it's really big city. No?
Yeah, it's big city.
Really
many people.
I was very surprised that even the trams did have AC there.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
Those new ones, right? Not
yeah,
the old one, but
right.
Yeah.
But can you imagine something like in Czechy?
Yeah. Oh, it's not necessary to have it. Maybe.
Well.
Sometime, yes,
it
but not so many days.
If you would have to spend an hour and a half that Hemant and the others spent while going with the with the bus to the
conference
center from the hotel that we were, there was a direct bus and it took them hour
no,
and
yeah,
a half.
Yeah, but that's not good. Direct bus was not good. Like, so you can go to the that is a central place, and then
you can take a tram and a train.
Okay,
that was the right choice, but to take something which was direct,
the easiest way.
Not definitely the direct as anything else, but.
Well, what is that place? Kaisho?
Kaisho,
the central, I mean, where we changed the bus to.
I don't remember the name. Is it there?
Maybe you can check the book.
Oh, you got
it. It's there. Like, I used to find bus number from book.
Originally, I bought it because I marked some pictures, but
one.
Yeah. Only one which surprised me a bit. It was speaker recognition, I think, but it doesn't really matter. They were trying to model covariance of different components
of what?
For GMM instead of using a diagonal. But then if you use a full, it's too much.
Yeah.
So they use some approach where they tie them automatically. And after that,
pruning of covariance module.
Well,
it's like
tying. It is still full, but different components are tied. Different components of the matrix are tied.
But what does it mean tied then?
Equal.
Like
yeah, but then you have to store the whole matrix and plus some extra information what is tied to what? Or
no, you have to store a minimum number, a reduced number of parameters, and they are tied in a linear way actually, sorry, not equal, but...
It's like all the semi-tied covariance matrices.
Yeah, exactly, that's it.
So they reduce, it's in between the direct covariance versus full covariance. So you try to reduce some parameters by tying.
Interesting thing is that they applied it on speaker recognition, and on the features before they had three different ways to decorrelate the features, and they showed it without this, with diagonal GMM, or with this, and with this, with semi-tied covariance matrices, it was much less sensitive to which decorrelation procedure you choose.
Okay.
So
they obtain better results with that?
Also better. But of course, it depends on the number of parameters you put.
Right.
In your tying.
But if you compare it with some baseline, let's say you use just GMM with diagonal.
No, I think they got
matrices.
Good results with just using diagonal, so definitely.
I think it was even slightly better.
Yeah.
And no decorrelation for like.
Maybe decorrelation again, they do DCT or KLT. Or they do that?
Well, LDA is there.
LDA.
Yeah,
or
LDA.
The main point is to like make it faster, the decoding or what?
Make it possible to use full covariance matrix.
Yeah. But there must be the sense, right? Because once
impossible
you decorrelate the data, then you don't need to.
No, but still, they still, that's where like people
that's
come.
So that means that the decoration is not optimal, right? So
yeah, definitely it's not optimal.
So
it's also like doing along the diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
So again.
So it's completely impossible to do it with full covariance matrix? Why?
It's really computationally really
yeah, yeah.
Computationally.
So see, suppose 39 to 39 for every.
Of course.
Yeah. So
from the point of view of computation, but otherwise it's.
Yes, I think
there's no problem.
No, there is no.
No problem, but
okay.
If you see so many models and
yeah.
Okay,
so many mixtures,
you have to choose either many
yeah.
Right.
Things to store and huge computation.
Yeah.
You know.
That you can see, you can't really like even. You can't, the models itself is like 38 times more than that,
right.
So so
yeah.
If you have like 5 megabytes or 10 megabytes of model,
yeah, depends.
Yeah.
But even I think it's really
yeah, it's
a bit like impossible
yeah.
For the really big
so
systems.
Yeah,
like
yeah
storing,
definitely.
Improving
it's
almost impossible for like LBCSI, it's impossible to use
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah,
you've
really
got dimension of 39 times 39?
Yeah, for
yeah.
Every year. So you have to
so
store all this.
Yeah.
So there are
it's
no
impossible
results there.
To use it. And you cannot
no.
Even train it.
No,
right?
But
yeah.
In the proceedings you can find them.
Mm.
They
yeah.
Are better.
So
they
from
PCA, LDM, and LT.
Oh,
mm.
Interesting. It's not really anything new, but they just applied that to special
yeah.
ID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different task.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found one paper interesting. I think you know Vivek, most of you know. This is Vivek's paper on
yeah.
Like variable scale feature extraction. Normally we used to fix it. Window for feature extraction like 25 milliseconds or 30 seconds. Here he is proposing variable scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fixed scale is non-optimal for, it's non-optimal because like for vowels you can have
much longer
and for plosives and these things
mm-hmm.
Shorter. Really shorter like even around less than 20 milliseconds also.
Okay.
So he is proposing like this variable scale window kind of online for each segment.
Or it has to be online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can do like, you can measure and you can do. But he's basically doing some likelihood ratio testing. So if, so the main idea is like, suppose you have a one segment. So he's trying to find the stationarity, quasi stationarity of that segment.
Right,
like extend it as much as possible.
Yeah, as much
to
as
keep,
possible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely you have to assume some the minimum and maximum sizes
of
your own. So he is using
what
minimum.
Is the
of minimum is I think around 12.5 milliseconds. I think maximum is 60 milliseconds.
So
isn't it smaller minimum? No.
So the minimum
2.5 milliseconds.
Oh. No, I think yeah, minimum is 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds.
Yeah. 12.5
so
milliseconds is kind of shift.
Or
oh, yeah.
20 milliseconds minimum is.
It's, I don't know.
No,
I
because of
not as small as it should have been, but.
No, you can use small
other
yeah.
Processing after.
No, mainly yeah. Because of MFCC computation because.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes
well,
really noisy. Like if you use.
Noisy, yes.
Yeah, 10 milliseconds means you have only 80 samples for and then.
Right.
You have if you use 24
sure.
Filters, the filters won't get any samples.
Okay.
So.
But it's not an intrinsic limitation, it's just because of...
Yeah, because of computation. So even, I think even he can find less than 20 millisecond
okay.
Windows also, especially for...
And the shifting is still the same or not?
Shifting,
okay.
Yeah, he's using
yeah.
12.5
yeah,
millisecond, yeah, shifting is almost same.
So...
But the problem, like...
How do you...
Like, no, how many frames per second you do have? Is it again like 100 frames or it's less or even if you keep variable length of the frames, right?
Yeah.
You can still keep the same.
Yeah, he's keeping
frame
same
rate.
Number of frames. He's using 12.5. Yeah, 12.5
because I understand this would have sense for, I don't know, speech coding where you want to preserve or you want to encode it into less frames, right?
Yeah.
But why to do it for speech recognition? It means that
number of frames.
Yeah,
no.
Why to keep variability in the length of the frames? Why not to keep the same length? What
actually,
is
the problem is again, you see the shift is the Nyquist frequency if you compute modulation spectrum.
Yeah.
So again, if you change this shift, the modulation spectrum Nyquist frequency changes for each window. So
right.
If you want to do again another high-level feature extraction again, it will be a problem. So but he's like he's here discuss. I mean, describing this because even this itself is a problem, keeping the fixed frame size, because you're analyzing your this segment many times.
Right.
So this shift
right.
will suppose
right.
if you find one segment of 60 milliseconds, and then
mm-hmm.
you're doing this 10 milliseconds, so every almost I think you have five frames, you're analyzing the previous this
right.
already
right.
segment. So,
right, right.
so again, this may blur some frequency
mm-hmm.
transitions
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
yeah. But the problem is again, this bottleneck is here. Like you can't change your Nyquist frequency
right.
modulation. And
yes.
I have two questions. First is essentially how he's doing it that.
Yeah.
Well, once he gets the frame, like
yeah.
from here to here,
yeah.
then where he advances to start with computation of the next frame?
So the main idea is like first he take the some window, some
yeah.
some samples, then he assume somewhere some variable end point there is a change.
Okay.
So
then
it's not symmetric.
It's not symmetric. You can basically have to like again do for all the samples in that 0 to n. So then what he does is like he proposed like some likelihood ratio test based on
okay.
maximum likelihood. So that is really simple. Like so what he does is like so he compute the residual. He first he does the LP analysis
okay.
and then he computes the residual
mm-hmm.
and he takes the residual energy of full signal, like this 0 to n samples.
Okay, so
the
full
signal. So maybe
some sub window or the whole
the whole window.
10 seconds of speech or what?
No, the like he assumes
also some
yeah 60 milliseconds or something he start with. So
okay.
So then
something
he can
longer window than the
yeah,
one we are
yeah,
speaking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he can split that window at point n, say point n. So then you will have 0 to, no, you can segment
okay,
it.
Okay, so you have a window and then you split it to two parts and you
okay.
shift the point
so
where you split it? Or?
Yes, see, suppose
okay.
this is your window. So then you can move your, like this. You can move your point.
Okay.
So
splitting
then this will be like one and this will be second.
Okay.
But again, he assumes some initial sizes for these windows.
Okay, so basically
yeah,
we have.
He don't start with
points.
He don't start with zero sample or something. He's
right.
starting
yeah.
with.
Yeah. Okay.
So the left window is starts at 20 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you already here like. So suppose this is full signal, you're already here. So right window is.
Okay.
Should end at 12.5. So you have to search basically, in this range. So.
Okay. So once you have say 1 hour of speech. You start at the beginning,
yeah.
and first you try with 20 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Then you shift to 25 and so forth.
Yeah. And then if
until
you the maximum is 60 millisecond frame for him.
Okay.
So
and
if
and
you don't
find
anything,
where what? Where do you stop actually?
60 milliseconds. If
yeah, I know, but you start at 20 and go to 60. But where? Which point do you choose?
No, the point is depending on the likelihood ratio. So he got.
Okay.
So
which,
he supposed this.
Likelihood ratio.
So this is supposed say segment one. And this is segment two. So he compute
okay.
this error here. So, and then he gives some kind of, in terms of this residual error. So this residual error is for full 0 to n samples. Then divided by, suppose this point is say n. So 0 to n, and then like, so this is the basically the main equations over here.
So he's maximizing them?
Yeah, he's finding the likelihood for full frame, and then it's basically likelihood ratio test. So
mm-hmm.
he's comparing the likelihood of the full segment divided by the likelihood of the sub-segment.
Likelihood that something and something. What is the likelihood?
Likelihood of the, like this likelihood is this error estimate of the residual.
Okay.
So residual power he can compute. So
yeah,
after doing LP,
yeah.
he can get a residual, and then he can compute the power of the residual. So that
okay.
he is proving that power is
so
again maximum likelihood estimate of your LP parameters.
Yeah.
So that is interesting. It's you don't really need to do lot of computation. You
so
just need to take the error of residual of this full window and then residual of energy of these sub windows, and then you can just divide them. And then the only thing is, like, again, he has to use some threshold to decide. That's only the problem. He got, he's finding something more around 3 or 3.5 is the optimum threshold. Mm-hmm. But the another advantage is, like, it's not really changing speech recognition, whatever, it's not really changing because of the threshold. So you don't really need to, like, fiddle with threshold a lot. So,
yeah, but why the main value which you are comparing to, the overall value or overall likelihood or whatever you call it, why he's using the whole signal for this? Because so if the whole signal was steady somehow and it would be able to be modeled by LP model well, then the residue will be very low. So he's supposing that the whole signal won't be able to be captured by LP model, and that the residue would be high enough, or
I understand. This is the actually basically some theoretical proof. Like, maybe if you're interested, you can see when he's quoting from.
No, I can see the point of dividing.
No, this is from again. Yeah, statistical signal processing. What they say here is, like, suppose if you analyze two distinct pith order, this LP analysis, in the same stationary analysis window, the coding error will always be greater than the ones resulting from this analysis in two windows, two stationary windows. He's basically based on this theorem. So, so what he's saying is, like, if you do this error, it will be always greater than the these errors of two stationary windows.
Okay, that's reasonable. Because actually, if the whole signal would be able to be modeled by LPC, then anyway he has to design some framing.
Yeah.
So even if it's very stationary, by dividing over this whole stuff, he is able to find some reasonable boundaries.
Yeah, probably.
Makes sense.
This may be.
Okay.
I think he's getting some improvement, but.
How did he cope with what you mentioned sometime before, that if it's a very long stationary period, for each 12.5 frame, you will actually get the same signal, no?
So he's just he's normalizing the energy coefficient, because energy is really affected a lot.
Okay.
So he's.
But it's to be power, not energy, definitely, no?
Energy, like, because the C0 component, like, see, he's using MFCC, so
yeah, but
he's normalizing the C0 component
by the length.
Yeah.
Then power instead of energy.
Power is
energy over length is power.
Yeah, it's time, like, yeah. It's okay, like samples, or you can say root mean square energy or something.
Okay. So two things I still don't understand. This is supposed to be only for MFCCs and these easy features. One question I wanted to ask before, does he preserve within the feature vector the framing he's using finally? Because does he somehow put the information about what's the size about the frame to the feature vector itself, or he's throwing away this framing?
No. You what you mean, like the window length?
Something like this, because
no, it
the
doesn't really
could be good for the recognizer to know what was the chosen framing by this.
But I think it's he doesn't use, I guess, because at the end, like, you take these features and you try and model. So it really matters what frame shift you're using for models, like, because he needs to use
the bed for the back end. It might screw up the.
He will get, like, every 10 milliseconds, he get one feature. Like, it doesn't really depend on, because suppose if you take your case, like, your window may be longer, so it doesn't really matter, like, what size window you use or not. But at every 10 milliseconds, whether you give some features or not really matters, no? Like, you can use 30 milliseconds or 50 millisecond window.
Oh, probably I didn't get it. So The framing is sort of equidistant. The windows are
Yeah, framing, I was like, it's really...
Because it would be crazy.
If you change framing, it's really...
Okay, it might be difficult.
I think even...
So
it's really problem, no? Like, if you try even models also, I guess, if you change... It's not only with this modulation spectra and shifts in deltas, because...
Who knows? Maybe it's possible to use it somehow. But then there is the information about... Temporary information is somehow included.
Yeah, but it's really complicated, I think.
Yeah.
If you use... Yeah, that becomes...
Can you imagine the transformation to get the modulation spectrum out of such a stuff?
Yeah.
But
this is kind of
interesting.
There
is also some... not paper, but I saw the algorithm. I have been using in the... called temporal decomposition. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
like
the Ethel's temporal decomposition.
I don't know who proposed it. I just had it from Bimbot, Frederic Bimbot. Do you know that guy? He's French. Somewhere now in Telecom French. Like, I don't know where he's working. But we were using it for speech coding.
Yeah.
So we just had a speech and you had decomposed the speech into such segments, temporal segments, which were stationary inside.
Yeah.
And then you can more or less quantize those segments somehow and use it for encoding.
Yeah, first this is proposed by Ethel.
We
read one paper in our reading group, you remember? That I have implemented it. It's quite
they
working
were using
well
like SVD stuff, single value decomposition for that, and it worked pretty well. Like
Honza is also worked for
this.
Yeah,
exactly.
So why don't you still use it?
He was quoting.
So
well.
It has been used for speech coding. No, nobody uses it for recognition stuff. I think I never heard it.
Yeah,
but
you use the speech coding. So do you still use it?
No, I don't. Of course.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe.
Yeah, he was quoting that paper also. He was telling this is kind of optimization criteria what this temporal decomposition is doing, like. You're trying to segment your signal into like discrete windows and then.
Right.
So, but he was telling like this relationship between optimization and then Cauchy stationarity is not really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So, stationarity is again different. No? Stationarity is.
Yeah, that's true.
This is optimization. We want to like see some few segments which can really represent role.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe that's why like this may not be really.
That's true.
That's interesting.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, he's getting some improvement.
That's important.
Well, there should be, after each conference, there should be something like 10 people should sit down, read the papers, rank them. You know, all the similar papers within one session, say, focus to this topic and say this is the best, this works slightly worse than this one, and throw away what is not that good. And
I think
the
people
first
would like
three papers which are the
like
best should be implemented and used from,
from
the time onwards. Like, forget all the MFCCs because it's too old, and then start building the story on the new stuff. And
but again, getting that 10 papers is really a difficult task. It takes maybe years. And again, definitely, like, who will choose the 10 papers?
I know.
Exactly.
This is just
if
a theory.
We ask, those things are practically kind of really. But I think these kind of things, what you said is really good. Like, if people start implementing. Like some people propose something in feature level, some propose in something in model level, but these two are really independent. No one really will combine these two. Or
and everybody is using different training and testing data, and then you don't.
Especially
know.
Features, like suppose if somebody come with different good features, again people again
show
use MFCCs.
They show it works for Timid, but then you try to use some different databases. You see,
like
it doesn't work.
No, it's not really sure also. Like, suppose people, you can't really force people to use same features.
Sure.
So, they will
can.
Be happy with their own features and their own script. So they are a bit reluctant to change features every time.
So,
and
so a little bit what NIST is trying to do now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So NIST evaluations.
Yeah. Because
but even
it
NIST,
seems
you
that
can.
Everyone is still comparing to PLPs or MFCCs. And there are so many new systems, everything is new, but
but nobody
is still 20 years old.
Those new systems are still not general, like, you know, Rhino's PLP and MCC, because everybody knows that it works somehow,
yeah,
right? For any kind of data.
Huh?
That's why they are comparing to that. So once somebody will come with something new, okay,
yeah,
he is showing it works for some data, but
so actually, especially LVCSR and really big systems.
Yeah, yeah.
Then people
first, it's difficult to show that it works for all the data, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, because yeah, it's again,
but
you don't know.
And
every paper then should contain all the results from Bayesian evolution or some standard task.
No, then there will
otherwise
be only one conference in 3 years or something for speech.
Yeah, but then we all optimize on the same task.
Yeah.
So you cannot get anything new without that after some time.
But again,
so it could be you would have to publish the results on this standard task, and then you could say, well, I also tried on this and this.
Yeah, but then you run out of time.
That's why you can publish only once in 3 years.
No, but then only it makes some progress.
No, ideally you're correct.
But I think people are doing, suppose in InterSpeech there was some challenge for speech synthesis. So what's like the challenge was really good. Like, so they give the database, so you have to work on that database. What technique use is
yeah,
it's your choice. Like, but the database and then the results analysis is they decide. So even speech recognition also, some tests are coming, like for phone segmentation or something. People give some database and then you have to you can use whatever you want and
mm-hmm.
you have to produce.
Yeah,
even for features
for
also, like
can you use from some
features
data
also
from the outer world?
Yeah, they design the data such a way that it's really like really real data.
Yeah, but they give you also training data?
No,
for
just
speech synthesis, it's like they give you some data.
Oh, okay.
So
synthesis
whether
training,
like use for training or you can do like data driven or like model based approach or whatever, like at the end then they will ask you to synthesize some sentence and you have to synthesize them and then
okay,
you have to send them.
So they give you only the training or development data?
Yeah,
only
training
data.
Only no development, training. Yeah.
How do they
evaluate? It's again subject to because for
so
speech synthesis.
They ask people to sit and listen basically.
Yeah, listen and.
Sure.
Yeah, even it's mostly they use native speakers only because they can really reach well.
Okay. But they don't have any measure, like you have an original speech.
Yeah.
You transcribe it.
Yeah. So even they propose some kind of word error rate. So you have the original speech, so the synthesized speech. Is there any words which are not matching?
Mm-hmm.
So even speech synthesis, they also introduced this word VWR terms.
Okay.
But this was really quite successful, like in this conference, InterSpeech.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people participated.
Right.
I think even they're continuing this for next year and.
It's just TTS, right? Text-to-speech.
Text-to-speech.
Right.
But I heard like even for ICAS next year, there is some competition by Martin Krug, Sheffield, and on this feature extraction stuff. So at least if you make tasks simple, focused, then it may be good to compare these features. But if you use some large vocabulary system, it takes 6 months to build, and then at the end, you don't know whether your features are really...
Right.
So maybe that's why like people are always using PLPs or MFCCs. It's such a like lot of time involved, so you can't really check.
So maybe I don't know if somebody like NIST would have one recognizer and you just plug a different feature. But
But at least in India we have this numbers recognizer is almost kind of free, so everybody is using.
Right.
So that's what we are doing. Almost like we are putting different features, and I think numbers recognition is not really different from at least in EDAP we have almost same. But maybe you're using 29, that's probably it's different. But
we are a couple of people at EDAP, but there are already two different setups.
But at least
are they
27? We're all using 27 so.
For OGI numbers,
yeah,
stories and numbers,
different setups. Like some people use this setup and some to that, seems.
Yeah.
I think we use distinct train and test set, even the different sets of phonemes.
No, but the problem is you're using only digits, so maybe that's why you.
Well, I don't use only digits. My MLPs are trained on everything.
No, but test set is digits. Your main task is digits.
Yeah.
Yes, that's really good. But OGN numbers rather, like now we're a little bit converged, like we're using 27 phones and before it was like 24, 25. But it's better, like once you have like so whatever the backend, then you can put features like whether they're gammas or like spectral entropies or MFCs or whatever. Then at least you can see.
Would be nice for OOR maybe.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. But Aurora is.
Aurora.
Aurora.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but Aurora, is it really big database or I mean, how much time it takes to set up system and then.
It's fast. I don't know. I've been working with that.
But the problem is Aurora, again, these models are word based models. Huh?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so again, here we use triphones and. So. But definitely, I. Yeah. If you want to show noise, I think it's you have to show on Aurora.
For noise conditions, yeah, it's pretty
Aurora
good.
Aurora is real time.
Well, those recognizers are made there. You just use them. That's it. You don't have to play with it. Which even if it was forbidden in that time, right? So you have a recognizer, just use it.
Yeah.
You don't play with it.
You can.
You just play with the features.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the
noise
wouldn't
be comparable. Right.
Yeah, exactly. At least, I mean, those studies, I think people already did for even in ISSLP 2002.
Yeah.
A special session on
right.
features for Aurora. So
yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
With David Pierce, he was.
Yeah. This Qualcomm XE features and OGA features and all this. So there are already people. But again, like at the end, like for LVCSR, people are using PLPs or MFCCs or nothing, all this.
Who is the one who actually uses what we try to do here? Is a company, so because it's not scientists. Scientists just start from PLP and then design the new features, new backend or new anything, but they start from the old stuff. But who is the one who is using these results which we publish and try to make?
But maybe
we
I
are using those results
for publishing another paper.
Yeah, but once you finish your PhD, you go and.
But not everybody goes. Not everybody. Many
and those
stays.
Who don't, they stay and publish another papers, and they, but they,
but
they
maybe
turn into a life, no?
Guillaume,
turn
you can tell,
life.
No, like, you work with the Siemens people, no, Siemens or these,
yeah,
Daimler,
yeah.
What kind of features they use, like these, any, you
know? I don't know, you know, they are extremely secretive.
Oh, come on.
I had a hard time just to get the signals, so I asked other questions, but. It's quite tough. Yeah,
yeah, I even say I didn't discuss anything with Sunil also, like no technical discussions.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, these kind of things are built. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. But do you have any like feeling that whether they go for all these new features
yes.
or they usually use only?
I wonder which level they are using.
They have, yeah, they have
maybe
to do some tests in their Mercedes, some speech recognition tests. But it seems now, at least Daimler, they mostly work on dialogue management, but not much on features and recognition.
But even they don't believe like with one paper or two, I guess, because at least for them, no PLPs
sure.
or MFCCs, they know that, okay,
but
these things work on every task, so okay, we can put hands on these things.
I doubt they are trying right now.
Yeah?
I doubt that at Daimler they are trying right now, but maybe other companies.
Yeah, maybe like, yeah, because Sunil is working in Nokia, he is a expert
okay, so
in
we can hope that Nokia will be using Tandem.
But yeah, we're not sure, even
no.
Sunil won't tell us.
Yeah, I cannot know.
Well, many people play with Tandem, right? Like MIT, or who is using that?
No,
not MIT.
No, this
somebody.
Cohen, you mean like...
I don't know, Hina told us that somebody is using that very... actively, like okay, it works for them, and they are close to like industry, like you know, there is it's a research group.
So it's not related to ICSI.
I know, I don't think it's ICSI. Somebody else, or I don't know, somebody knew us, but I.
But this voice signal company,
like
AT&T
or what?
This voice signal company here. Henik always mentioned
Cohen's
company.
Yeah.
What they're using here?
Jordan Cohen.
I don't know. He's even if. Qualcomm?
No. Voice signal. They make the recognition
for
the Samsung phones.
Right. No, I don't know.
Yeah, but they have like really many recognizers, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
yeah,
definitely they may be using PLPs. Or
maybe they are using PLPs, but I believe that there is still some another stuff.
Rasta
up to,
or
yeah,
something.
Rasta or whatever else. Like
yeah,
all those decorrelations and transformations. I think it's there, but more or less it's again based on MFCC or something like that.
Yeah,
or
but
maybe
even whatever is certain to work, and they use it. They don't use anything which is too new, which is not.
But
yeah,
more or less
is really differently.
Yeah.
Because like they have to at least see at least 4 or 5 years of results of some new features
it's
and
like
some consistent results.
It's like the NASA, you know, they use 486 machines to put to. No.
Space or
spaceships,
no, okay.
Because it's known to work perfectly well or Pentium, not any P4 or whatever, because it's safe, it has been working for 20 years and then only it's safe
true.
Well, not 20.
But that's different situation because
yeah, of course,
right,
yeah.
They need that it doesn't crash that machine.
Yeah, it's
something happened with the machine and I don't, the Alex system, it doesn't matter, right? Somebody will fix it and change it, but
yeah. Another issue is like again the computational issues, right? If they want to make on mobile,
sure.
They don't want to really use some fancy, really expensive, computationally expensive features, so all these.
Hynek also told about this Cohen's cell phone, which he was showing to work with the LVCSR.
Yeah.
He was saying that there is something really, really simple, the decoder, I mean, not the feature, but he was mentioning something to the decoder that is just...
It's just phone recognition or something. Like
even not Viterbi, just even...
Yeah,
yeah,
something like no DTW or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not really sure.
But most of the mobiles, they use DTW kind of thing. You know? All these,
I don't know.
So voice calling, calling at this.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
that's
easy, like because
yeah, sure.
They don't really need to put a lot of memory and these things. Otherwise, if they want to build a real recognition.
But there, you could send an SMS, I think, or something like that. You could dictate the text.
Yeah.
So
even on the phone.
On the phone.
Yeah.
Some new one or.
The phone that
from the
Cohen.
Yeah.
Voice
signals.
Oh.
That's a similar one to what Erwin has, for example. So he was showing it live on MLMI, last MLMI conference.
And
you can look up the video and play.
But which phone it is?
It's Samsung.
Samsung?
Some new, really new phone.
Whatever, some which you can buy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Commercial.
But the software is always available?
You can train it, like on your speech?
No,
or
the software is,
I don't know that.
Again, on top of mobile, or like it's comes with your mobile?
Well, they just bought a mobile, and based on the OS it's using, they
no, the thing is usually these kind of facilities are like not normal, so something they charge more, or like
phone. This is not the commercial
Yeah, definitely they may charge for more money, again some extra bill for this, using this recognition engine or something.
Or you can just buy that application, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, like it's
what?
Like you've got some mobile phone and then you can buy from another company some such application which you can dictate your SMS or whatever.
I don't know if it's already the case.
I don't know if it is done now, but
like but maybe like if it can't really recognize you, will be really
but
annoying.
Have you ever used like a dictation system for Windows? Those
yeah, I have
there
used
many
ones
of them.
Like this Dragon. That was
yeah,
kind
Dragon
of good. Like
good. And I heard that it worked very, very well.
Because even in when I was working in like in Edinburgh, like one guy, he got some problem with hands, and then he was always using this dictation. Even he used to write a lot of C++ code with dictation. Like it's really good. Like so, but you have to really train, and then you have to kind of
your speech.
Yeah,
okay.
You had to get used to the
get
system,
used to
not the
system
too.
Yeah, yeah, it's really like you have to get used to the system, like how to say
how to
all
say
the call lines and
okay.
this thing system. How, but it's really funny. Like he is able to use it for like years, and he used to write a lot of code.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great.
By the way, you should be the one to ask. Is there anything if I'm just a private person and I want for free any software which is able to read me a book in English, for example that festival, am I able to put the text to the system and to in real time to listen to the
yeah you
output?
Can listen festival.
Festival is able to
read them, it reads
to
like
read just a normal plain text in reasonable comprehensible English.
so that I can understand it.
Yeah,
I think you can, the festival, you can just call like this. There are different kind of, again, how you call the festival. So you can just give the full interactive, is there. There is an interactive. So then you will get the all the colon and other things. If you want to like read full text, then you can say like the full text, like those syntax, and then it will speak till it finishes.
And it's
text.
In real time on
the machine.
It's based on a iPhone,
yeah.
Right?
That's why it's real time. Like otherwise, it's a bit difficult. And
yeah.
It's okay. You can easily understand. So it's intelligible.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
The festival is good. Like now it comes with all the Linux boxes also. So it's already.
The iPhone that I was trying to install it, and there are other voices like Cat Voice and these voices. This is not.
No, there are so many voices. Like
because
again,
I don't know which.
Which
what
voice
is running, or if it's iPhone, or which approach this is?
No, most of the festival, what you get on Linux machines is iPhone,
yes,
based only.
So it's
they supply few
voices of the iPhones.
Yeah.
That
you
choose.
So you've got it installed in your machine here?
No, it's already
there.
If you just put festival,
here.
Festival, right?
Because it comes with direct Linux software only, no, which is
okay.
Open source.
Oh.
So
you and have you tried it?
Yes, I've tried.
And?
There are some built-in, like easy voices, which you can. There
so
is a default one, completely synthetic, which you cannot understand at all. And then there is a iPhone synthesis. I think it is the iPhone synthesis from the something like Cat Voice.
Yeah, Cat Voice. Like there are like they have
so, but this doesn't sound very nice. And we were playing at the summer school with them, actually with the authors, and they were playing us some.
Yeah, new voices, like yeah,
and it sounded like a human. It was great. But
yeah, that's the difference. They in CSTR we use this unit selection. It's not diphones. You have really large inventory of the speech.
So this is not.
With those voices, they are
not
at release.
Or something.
Yeah. No, it's free. They will be releasing soon, I guess.
But
so maybe you can
it's
just
not
check.
Here so far.
No, it's here on the web. Then it won't come with your Linux software. So you have to again. Download from
okay. I'm fine with this, but I can.
Yeah, you can download.
Make it run on
yeah.
my machine.
Yeah, yeah. The voices are called multi-syn.
Okay.
Multi-syn, some voice. So you can download from the voice, from the web.
And the engine is in the festival.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a voice.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So voice is like the database of the speaker who speaks this text. So it's really. Large database, so the quality will be better because
so
you can find similar.
Still real time.
Yeah, it's more or less, but not exactly like it's
but
2 times or 1.5 times.
Not much.
But you can prune like how much you want because.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is again like, that's kind of my PhD work. How in this system, like how you choose the units and how you concatenate.
Mm-hmm.
So there are again cost functions and Viterbi.
Yeah, it's
so you can always optimize, you can put some thresholds and pruning
yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you can make it real time. So then again, compromise between the quality and But still it's good, like now you can just check multi-sync and then voices.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really good.
And you just have chosen some text? Any text you just
yeah,
put
just
in
to use the Douglas Adams that book and all.
Okay.
How it's called.
But only sometimes like it can like
just
all
general
this
general English text the book. I try.
Yeah, it can read. How does it read? From which? How to stand it? Is it possible to read PDFs or just standard text?
TXT.
Whatever. TXT, right?
Yeah,
files.
ASCII file.
ASCII file,
but you can take a PDF and convert PDF to
ASCII.
Yeah.
But only the problem is again acronyms, and sometimes it expands, sometimes
yeah.
it may not expand because
it
was not in the dictionary.
It's
not in the dictionary. Like if again, it's problem. Like so, but those things you can add. Like if you're really familiar with festival, so you can add always.
I know, then I don't want to go too much into details. Just
but at least these things
okay.
Like it won't really make mistakes. So often, like sometimes.
Anyway, who's the
I
author of festival?
Sorry.
Alan Black and Paul Taylor. They started a festival in 1996.
These are the Edinburgh people. Right?
Edinburgh. And I thought that's the guy from CSLU from Portland who was there.
This Johanna Waters or like.
Yeah, but there was.
No, what they did Portland OGR, they did LPC based synthesis. The festival is already like it's well,
No,
first we start with
but that was the guy who is on a wheelchair now. He cannot move even. He's very in, like in the, I'll say that, like he cannot. He just can't speak only through some festival system or something like that.
From Oji.
No, yeah, he was working, I think, in Oji. He's very famous, but I thought that he was the author.
No,
it was developed for him. Like, he was just first tester, I think, of the system.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, maybe because.
But it's not text to speech. It's just a synthesis, which means.
Okay.
Like she's more or less the same, but I don't know.
Yeah, first it started in CSR with Alan Black and Paul Taylor.
Yeah.
And then it expanded to many places because somebody.
And Simon King is playing with that, right?
No, Simon King is one of the others, but Rob Clark is the main.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Rob Voice.
Rob Voice is there.
Okay,
that I know.
Yeah.
I think that's enough.
Yeah. No.
So anything more about Lisbon or interesting?
No other papers further, just one paper.
Yes, enough.
And festival from Linux. It's very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do not down one.
That's quite one size. This is crazy stuff.
Yeah, but this paper maybe.
It's not easy to leave this room
without breaking anything.
How much?